Blog Talk Radio.
When a parent lashes out at the other parent in front of a child, or simply says hurtful things about the other parent in front of a child, they are also attacking that child's sense of self-worth and confidence. This is an act of alienation and is harmful to children and can cause a lifetime of issues for the child. Issues as serious as anxiety, depression, substance abuse, and thoughts of or actual suicide. Help spread the word. Visit www.paawareness.org.
Wow, what a great commercial. This is Jill Ajeezy, and you are listening to Family Matters. I am so glad to have you all here tonight for this very exciting and important show that we're going to give you tonight. I am having a little bit of technical difficulty, and I'm hoping I'm going to say hello, Judge Michelle, and she's
Hi,
going to say hello
you,
to me. Hi, my dear. How are you?
Really good.
I have been looking all over for you tonight. We've had several attempts to, for you calling in because a lot of people don't know that you're in Chicago, Illinois. I'm in Springfield, Illinois. Ruthie, our technical director and owner of Syndicated News, is in Titusville, Florida. And our guests are all the way out east. So, actually in Fort Wayne, Indiana. So we've got just a conglomeration of things going on here, and it's so exciting to be able to pull this all together on Family Matters. And I feel like I haven't talked to you forever. We haven't done a show because we took our holiday hiatus, and we're back. How are you?
Well, yeah, and I hope nobody thinks we've abandoned them around the holidays because it's a particularly difficult time. But there just was no show to be had.
Well, we ran some old shows, which was good, and definitely weathering the holidays when you're going through parental alienation or divorce is very difficult, as you might have seen on my Huffington Post blog, and you're on the Huffington Post now as well, and your book, The Good Karma Divorce, is doing amazing things, and I know you were on with a television show on Christmas Eve. What was that?
Well, you know, it really isn't related to anything we talk about, but there's a show called Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I know. You know what? But you were on, and that's important.
Well, you just never know, you know, when you just never know where anything leads, do you, Jill?
No, you
really
don't. And Curb Your Enthusiasm makes me laugh. And, you know, sometimes alienated parents need a good laugh. So.
Well, it was a panel discussion. It wasn't like I was on the show. It was
okay.
A show that comedians and actors comment on all the crazy stuff.
It makes me laugh right now, Michelle.
Yeah.
But we do what we can to create awareness, don't we? That's right.
Well, we're certainly going to be doing it tonight in the
most
profound way ever. So if anybody's thinking that maybe they'll be neutral, maybe listen, maybe not, if there ever was one to listen to, it would be tonight, wouldn't it?
It sure would. And, you know, tonight we're going to tell a story. We're going to hear a story from a mom who was an alienated mom and from a brave, wonderful young girl, 17 years old, who is going to tell us how she felt about that and the reunification with her mom. And, you know, it's a story, and stories are usually relegated to putting your kids to bed, kissing them goodnight, and tucking them in. And that is something that is not a luxury for alienated parents. They can't do that anymore. And I've missed so many tuck-ins and so many kisses goodnight. And I know that all the alienated parents listening feel the same. It's a sad thing to not be a part of. And this story tonight is such a success story, a partial success story, and we'll hear the whole story in a second, and that will explain why I said that. But Addie and Jenny are here tonight. Addie, this wonderful young woman, brave young woman, and her mom, Jenny, and they're going to tell us about what has happened in their life and this wonderful reunification that they've had. Welcome, Jenny and Addie.
Thank you.
Are you?
Hi, ladies. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know, Addie, you started school again this week, and you told me earlier you're getting back into the groove of things. How's that going?
It's going all right. I'm figuring out what classes I'm going to be taking this semester, and it's hard deciding what I should be taking and stuff in preparation for college.
Well, it's hard to know what you want to be when you're 17, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Well, you Addie, this is Michelle. So I just want to tell you that I want to say a couple of things. First of all, this is so incredibly heroic that you're reaching into this part that I'm sure you'd like to get over and just enjoy your life, but you're not. You're saying, I'm going to spend this hour and reach out there and see if I can help other people. Whatever it is you decide to do with your life, it's going to be major because of who you are inside now. So, and the second thing I want to tell you is if we ask you something, honey, and at any point you say, I'm not comfortable with that, or I don't feel like answering, or I don't know, please know that we're really good with that.
Yeah.
But whatever you feel like sharing, just follow your comfort level, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Sure, definitely, because you know you don't. We're talking, and it's very raw and
raw.
Revealing. So you've got complete permission, okay?
Okay.
So you get to do for the first time in your life whatever you want tonight, Addie.
We should start with the story. Let's start with the beginning.
Yeah, Jenny, that's what I want you to do. Jenny and I spoke last night, and I told Jenny I wanted her to give a quick but really detailed synopsis of what has transpired. So, Jenny, go ahead. Why don't you tell us what's happened?
Okay. Well, first of all, I have four daughters, and my youngest daughter is a subsequent child from a separate relationship, but I have to add that she's also the victim of parental alienation, being the stepsister of her three older sisters who have been alienated from her life also. My first three daughters were born into a marriage that lasted approximately 8 years until the time of separation and 10 years until time of divorce. And Addie is the oldest of these three girls. I had primary physical custody of the girls for approximately 4 years. My ex-husband gained primary physical custody of the girls approximately 6 years ago. We both have always had joint legal custody, and standard visitation was always in place no matter who had custody of the children at the time. I gained primary physical custody of Addie, which is not actually in legal form, but in good standing, approximately 7 months ago as a result of a domestic situation between Addie and her father. At that time, the complete alienation of my other two daughters began as a result of that situation.
And Jenny, Addie is 17. How old are the younger girls?
They are 14 and 13.
Okay.
So and my youngest one is four.
As we speak, you don't have a relationship with the two younger ones.
It's a very, very limited relationship.
Like how?
Very little contact. I've seen them at my mother's briefly, for example, at Christmas. They did come here at Christmas time very reluctantly, although I think somewhat humbled, but phone contact, and I've missed, you know, the 13-year-old's birthday, trying to get her to come here. A lot of hang-up phone calls, and a lot of, in any phone conversations that were had, a lot of hang-ups and just sporadic behavior. You know, I think there's a part of them that wants to, I know there is, especially the 13-year-old, that wants to be part of my life, but it seems when she's around other family members or someone present, then it's that complete alienation of me and anger.
And Addie was in the same position with them for a while.
Yes, and
okay.
For actually, yeah.
How long? How long would that have been that you and Addie's relationship was terribly strained?
Terribly strained is probably the good word for it.
Well, I'm
trying to say,
yes, I understand.
Yes, because, you know, the relationships, it's I'm not going to put words in Addie's mouth, but is greatly improved and wonderful to me, of course, because she's here with me. But it was strained for several years, I would say. It it was a cumulative, you know, the alienation process, I think, began in the marriage. But I would say about 3 years of not having custody, physical custody of Addie, that it was strained would be probably accurate.
Could we focus for a minute on the alienation starting in the marriage with you telling what that means, and then Addie talking about how she responded to that?
Yeah, well, I don't know if Addie would remember some of that in the marriage when it began. What I've now have looked back on and seen is things like, you know, you comb the girl's hair too hard and, you know, they cry. Just mostly that, little things that, and telling them that, you know, that mommy combs your hair too hard and just planting little seeds.
At one point, there was a time when my dad had brought all of us out into his office and told us that our mom, he called her a bunch of names and stuff and said that she was doing drugs and all of, like, these terrible things and stuff. And that's one of the most vivid things that I remember about my dad saying about my mom. And I was probably 9 or 10 at that time.
Did you believe it?
It was hard to believe because it was my mom, but part of me wanted to believe him because he was my dad as well. And I didn't know who to believe at that point because I was, like, in between two parents, and I didn't know, like, how to respond to that. So I believed my dad.
Would you say, Addie, that at that moment, you were very young then, but did you feel the tug and the pull of having to choose who was right and who was wrong?
Yeah, definitely. And sometimes I still feel that way because I hate having to choose between my parents because they're both my parents and I love both of them. But it's like when one parent says something badly about the other, it makes me move towards the parent who's saying things badly about the other parent. Like in that case, it was my dad.
So you start feeling protective to the one that's being attacked.
Yeah.
But Addie, did you feel that you had to choose a parent to relieve the stress that you were feeling from all of everything that was being heaped upon you?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. I mean, like, during the next few years, around when I was 9 and 10, I started to want to be around my dad more. I'm guessing from the things that he was telling me about my mom.
And at that point, Addie, was your mom, and Jenny, I don't want to put obviously words in Addie's mouth, but at that point, did you feel like you were getting some alienating statements from your mom about your dad?
I can't remember specifically, but I know for a fact that both of them would say things about each other. I can't really remember terrible things that my mom would say about my dad, but, you know, she would just say things. So it came from both sides, but not as much from my mom.
But, Jenny, do you recognize that you, even in an intact marriage, that you were saying things that probably you shouldn't have been saying or not?
I don't think at the time I did realize that. I think I've done some tests and things that have indicated I have. I did my very best not to say anything negative about their dad. I'm pretty sure what Addie's saying is accurate and that there was nothing terrible or specific, but I'm sure one thing I know I was probably guilty of is with an earshot in a phone conversation explaining to somebody some event that had occurred. Mm-hmm. You know, the Addie saying what she just said to me, you know, a lot of what I'm going to hear tonight, that was the first time I've ever heard that. My heart dropped in my stomach, you know.
Right.
So there's
Jenny,
a lot that I don't know.
What do you think, Jenny, you might have done differently? We're just still talking about when the marriage was still intact.
I don't know that I could have. Boy, that's one that requires too much thought for a quick response. I don't know that I could have done anything to change that. I don't think that you have a lot of control over what another parent is saying or to your children, especially in the situation she's talking about, that I had no idea that conversation took place or he had the children in a separate building, actually, on the same property talking to them. So I don't know that you can.
Well, you didn't even know what was going on.
No, I did not. No.
Jenny,
Well,
when did you first realize when you were still married to him that this was what was happening to you, whether you knew it was called parental alienation or not? You knew the behaviors of the children were changing because of something that was happening. Did you realize that he was doing some character assassination behind your back?
No, I really didn't. I mean, I think that actually came out at a later time. But, you know, I mean, I think a lot of this, you know, was overshadowed by a lot of emotional abuse towards me that was going on. And I think it was difficult to see everything that was happening. So I didn't actually catch that and look at it that way. I think when I was first really alerted to the alienation was when my now 14-year-old daughter, she would have been probably 8 at the time, would come home and after being with her father and say, here's a little 7 or 8-year-old calling a family meeting, you know, to say, we have to talk, Mom, because Dad said horrible things about you and crying and upset. And what I would notice in Addie is she would withdraw and get very quiet. And my youngest daughter, who's now 13, would have been, you know, 5, 6 at the time, would just, you know, pretty much the same thing. You know, she went off into Neverland, like she acted like nothing was going on. So that's when I really noticed it, is that this was happening. And, of course, that just escalated.
Addie, would you talk about what your dad was saying with your sisters? And did you guys, like, assess it and talk? Was it prevalent in your conversations?
It wasn't, like, an everyday thing when we were with him, but sometimes things would come up. And, like, if he would get upset with my mom, then he would, in a way, release that by saying things to us, and he'd call our mom names and tell us about all these terrible things that she's done. And I don't know how much of it is true, but he would say these off-the-wall things that made me wonder about if they were true, if my mom actually did them.
Mm-hmm. And Addie, when he was saying all of these things to you and engaging your sisters, your younger sisters, because you're clearly a wonderful young woman and a role model for your younger sisters, did you feel like you were becoming almost a soldier in his battle against your mom to try to bring your younger sisters into the battle and march to the tune of what he was saying?
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt. I felt like I had to take sides, and it was my sisters and I and my dad against my mom because he was making her out to be such a terrible person.
So do you think that because you were like a little army, that it was a bonding thing for all of you, that it had that kind of effect?
In a way, if I look at it like that, I think yes, because we actually did become closer. And sometimes we would joke about it at dinner, like Dad would say something about Mom and we would all kind of laugh at it. And it was just kind of a normal thing. And my sisters and I would come over to my mom's on the weekend and we wouldn't really like do anything with my mom. We'd all go down into the basement and my sisters and I would hang out down there and not really involve ourselves with my mom or our stepdad.
Was there ever a time when one of you felt like you wanted to be with your mom and it was just so unacceptable that you couldn't really express that feeling?
I know that I've felt that way plenty of times when I've been over here, and when my dad was saying things about my mom, I felt like I wanted to be with her, and I wanted her to take me shopping and things, and I just wanted to spend good quality time with her, but I felt like I couldn't because of the things that my dad told me, that she was a terrible mother, and so I was like, oh, I shouldn't do that because I don't want to be around her if she's going to be doing those things to me.
Boy, Addie, you are just, you know, only one other person on this radio show and all this time has made me cry, and you are just making my eyes well up with tears right now. Because I know that so many children want their parents that they don't have right now. And it is so important what you're saying, to allow these children to speak out what you're doing today, and say that it's okay to have a relationship with both parents. And the position that you were in is just so compromising and so horrible. And I'm so sorry that you had to go through that. And I know that that's what my own children are going through now. And I hope if Elizabeth and Thomas and Martha and John are listening tonight, that you hear Addie so clearly and you understand what she's saying.
So,
okay, I'm done.
No, this is really important because, Addie, if you were to speak to some of these children, let's assume that some are listening, what would you say to them? How it's... Do you feel guilty about having to have made those kind of choice, which you shouldn't because you were under that pressure? But is that something you experience?
Yeah, it is. I feel guilty every day there was a point where I hated my mom. I felt so strongly against her because of the things that my dad has said, and I feel so guilty about it. But it's so important to know that both of your parents love you, and that it's okay to have a relationship with both of them. And it's so important, because even if you feel like you can't be with one parent because of the things that the other says about them, that's not true, because your parents love you, and it's important to have a relationship with them.
And Addie, don't you think it's so important for these kids to know, to remember, because so many times in parental alienation, the alienating parent will rewrite history for the child. So it's important to remember, to have the memories that you had and pull them forward all the time. It is so incredible to talk to a child who has been alienated. The last conversation I had with my daughter, we did plays together. The last play we were in was Annie. I was Miss Hannigan. She was an orphan. And I said to my daughter, remember, because Dr. Warshak told me to say this, remember when we were in Annie together. And she said, I was never in a play with you. I've never done anything like that. So the memory is erased, and it's so important to pull those memories out and know that that parent that you have been told is so incredibly horrible is really not. It's been rewritten, and these are the memories that have been installed in your memory bank to replace the good memories that you had. Did you find that, Addie?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my dad would try to say that my mom wasn't there for me when I was a kid, and she never was involved with me in elementary school and things, and she was never involved in like my sports life when I played soccer. But I look at the plaques on my dad's wall of when he and my mom both coached me when I was a kid. My mom was one of the assistant coaches on my soccer team for a few years, and I clearly remember, I have memories of my mom sitting with me and teaching me things when I was in kindergarten. She was clearly involved in my life, and I know that for a fact, even though my dad tried to tell me that she wasn't.
So what is your feelings about your dad now? How are you working? This is a lot. This is a really a lot to balance. because you know what it feels like to lose a parent. You don't want to lose him either, I imagine.
Right, and after the domestic situation, it was especially hard because we had no relationship at all. We wouldn't even speak to each other, and just until recently we started talking to each other again and seeing each other, and I actually spent most of Christmas Day with him, and it's getting better, but there's still a lot of animosity there, I guess, and because
part?
We haven't... What's that?
On whose part? Who has the
animosity from your dad to your mom, Addie? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, towards both of us. I mean, he'll tell Grace and Isabel that me and my mom are doing is wrong because I moved out of my dad's house and moved in with my mom, and he tells Grace and Isabel how wrong that is because mom's such a bad person, and he makes it out to be like it's wrong for me to be with my mom. And
wait a second, hold on 1 minute. You mean to this moment he's still campaigning against your mom?
Yes.
And nobody's ever stopped him in a court or anything, Jenny?
No. Not sure quite how to go about that. I don't, you know, for one thing, the funding is an issue. But, you know, primarily for that reason, you know, I've been presented with, you have to have psych evaluations and such, you know, and
well, wait, hold on 1 second. It depends upon what your goals are. I'm not giving you legal advice, but people in this kind of situation, you wouldn't even need a lawyer. Every judge enters an order that says no maligning. Now, people break it, but at least there needs to be an order in place.
Well, I think due to the – I'm not sure how to go about doing that, to be honest with you, Michelle, because there's – you know, Addie, who, you know, again, I'm hearing a lot of this for the first time. I try not to, there comes a point of eye glazing when I, you know, bring up a subject between her father and I, and I don't like
Jenny, you have to, also, you've got the added problem that he has connections in the system, just like every place else in America. It's the good old Moy network, and so
correct.
You've got that particular, and if you want to spell that out, that's fine. I'm not going to, but you can if you want to.
Okay. Well, right, and that's been a problem, you know, getting legal help, you know, for many years in the beginning, from the beginning till now. You know, I probably talked to 30 attorneys, you know, and ended up having to go out of county, two counties away from where my actual divorce took place to find some help, you know.
Why
so,
is that?
Because his brother's in a position, a judicial position in the county in which I presently live. So finding legal help was very difficult, and there's also been some interactions from him into the county in which our divorce took place. The custody situation, for example, where his brother was able to come out of the courtroom and be at every hearing or anything that happened. And I do have that battle, but I guess due to the alienation, again, Addie's being a voice now, which could actually be quite helpful. I have a very hard time putting – my children have been through so much that I don't want to add to the pressure of asking Adeline to advocate for me. Sorry.
Why would – she wouldn't be in that position?
Well,
she
I guess
wouldn't.
I'm trying to explain how I could go about it.
Can I ask you something,
yes.
Guys? Is – Addie, are you getting some counseling?
No.
And wouldn't that be helpful?
Yeah, I know it would be helpful, but I guess we haven't gotten around to it, or we don't have the money.
Hold everything, guys.
She did get some counseling through her school, She went voluntarily on her own in the very beginning. In fact, the first day that I said something to her about it, she'd gone that day and counseled. And I haven't pressured Addie in that regard, and I've left it up to her. And she's been doing very well. But no, we haven't.
I would really want to say that every hospital has sliding scale. There are so many services available that I would so recommend. She can be doing wonderful. She could be making great straight A's. She could be on the soccer team. But trust me when I tell you, this is very deep wounding, and it would be nice and helpful for her to have a neutral person just to process. After all, she may have healed with you, but she's still got issues with her father. She's still got to be able to relate to men in her life, and she could use some extra skills and tools.
And Michelle, I think that is such great advice, but we have to be very careful about who's chosen for that. And unfortunately, in the United States, just in the United States, there's a handful of people licensed to deal with this particular issue. And if you just walk in blind to somebody who may or may not know even what, if you say the words parental alienation, they're probably going to have that glazed over look. But if you describe the behavior, they're going to maybe get it, they may not. So dealing with what Addie has gone through it is a very difficult thing to do, and to find the right person is critical to her well-being and her having successful relationships and not having trust issues and walking forward as a responsible adult and being able to have children and raise them properly, because so many of these kids that go through parental alienation end up being alienated parents, or they end up being alienators. And it's very, very sad that we can't have people. So if anybody's listening that's going through school right now, focus on parental alienation, because I'm telling you, this is a niche that you're going to have to be involved in, because it's pandemic across this country.
Well, maybe we could help find maybe the right person.
Well,
not
absolutely.
Air,
and I'm thinking as we sit here, I think Addie is a wonderful girl to go to talk to Dr. Richard Warshak, who deals with children so well. And I'm going to give him a call tomorrow and see if maybe we could set up something on Skype for Addie to talk to Richard and try to work through what's going on with her, because she clearly has all the tools to be successful. And this one little niche is going to hold her back unless we can get her some really good help.
So what do you think?
Well, let's take a station break right now, everyone. We want to welcome the states that are visiting us tonight. We don't know what happened, but we busted our server twice, proud to say, because we started with 3 minutes opening the show. We had more than 1,017 people sitting in the room. We welcome Birmingham, Alabama, Friars, Colorado, Albany, New York, Carmel, New York, Louisville, Kentucky, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Stephen, Norway, Sacramento, California, Perth, Western Australia, Plainfield, Illinois, Keller, Texas, Tokyo, Japan, Fort Collins, Colorado, Los Angeles, California, Altoona, Pennsylvania, Belfort, California, Minneapolis, and we're not going to continue reading them all. We welcome you all to Family Matters. The list is too long to read. We took this little station break. This is Family Matters with the Honorable Jill Ejizi, who is the president of the Parental Alienation Awareness Organization and an older woman in Chicago, as well as the Honorable Judge Michelle Laurent, a Cook County Family Court judge, and our guests are Jenny and Maddie, and we return to the show.
Thank you, Ruthie. Thank you so much. I think what we'll do is we've got a caller, Addie and Jenny, and I'm going to take this call, and we'll see what they have to say. How's that sound?
Good. Okay.
Welcome, area code 817. Do you have a question for Addie and Jenny or Judge Michelle?
Well, I have several questions, and I'm going to try to get through all this without crying because it's just really deja vu hearing Jenny and Addie speak, and a lot of it we're going through right now, and it's just so painful, and they are really an inspiration to those of us who are going through this, and that is one of my questions, actually, for Addie and Jenny, and if you covered this before, I apologize, but I was wondering, Addie, how old are you right now?
I'm 17. And
you're 17 now, and how long were you alienated from your mom?
I was alienated from my mom for at least a few years before I moved back in with her.
And what happened that made you realize about parental alienation? Because you can explain this better than anybody probably, but a lot of kids and young adults who are alienated from their parents, they don't believe it and they don't see it, and it's extremely hard to get them to see that. So what happened that made you realize what was actually happening?
I'm gonna hang up and let Addie answer that question. Thank you for your call, Addie. So she's asking you, what was a turning point in your relationship with your dad that made you turn back to your mom? What happened?
I don't remember what he said, but it was one of the last things that my dad said about my mom that made me realize, you know what, that's not true. I know that that's not true about my mom because I've been around her before, and I know that she's a great person and she's an amazing mom, and I just need to be with her because at the time I was a freshman in high school and I was like, I need to be with my mom. It's about time. And so I figured that I'd go and try living with her for a little bit, and if I didn't like it, then I could go back and live with my dad.
So you're asking, how did you feel when you were going to tell your dad what was going to happen? You were moving out. Were you scared to death?
I was so scared that he would get angry with me that I felt that way, and I felt like I was betraying him because I felt that I had taken his side, I guess, because I guess he was my favorite parent, I guess, and so I just didn't. It was so hard trying to tell him that I wanted to come live with my mom, and the way I did it was through a letter, and I wrote him about a 4-page letter and told him that I wanted to live with my mom, and it helped me that way because I could get everything out on paper, and he couldn't yell at me that way.
But what happened when you gave him the letter?
He was extremely upset, and he made me feel so guilty about
it. You betrayed him.
Yeah.
Like you betrayed him, right?
Yeah.
So do you feel guilty about that now?
I still feel guilty about it because he made me feel like writing a letter to him was the wrong way to propose to him that I was living with my mom. But I know that I made the right decision, even though my dad still makes me feel like it was the wrong decision.
So
Interrupt for a minute? I just wanted
to explain
that she's talking about Addie had come to live with me a couple years ago and lived here with me for over a year, and some of that alienation started going on. Some of that was Addie's choice also to go live back with him again. So this was the first time that Addie had proposed coming to live with me that she wrote this letter. The second situation, what brought it around, was a domestic situation between he and her father. But I think what's important, too, to know is that this last time, I think his feelings were made very clear because he called and left a message and told her she was no longer welcome in his home. So that gave a very strong message about what she had done wrong. So I'm sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to be clear.
No, I think that's really great clarification. Addie, what do you feel right now about where your sisters are, and how do you feel that you can mentor them into understanding, not that your mom's a better parent, not that your dad's a better parent, but to try to tell them that it's okay to love your mom and it's okay to love your dad?
I've thought about that many times, and I've tried talking to Grace and Isabel about it, but it's almost like there's no hope for them. They seem so hesitant to come over to my mom's and to spend time with her now. It's ridiculous that they don't want to be with their own mother, and I really don't know what to say to them anymore, because I've told them, hey, do you want to come hang out with me and mom and stuff? We're going to just, like, be here and stuff, and it'd be nice to spend time, all of us together. And they're just like, no, I'm busy, I don't think that's a good idea, or I've got something else going on. They make up excuses.
You know what, Addie? I want to tell you something. What you said to them was very nice, and it was very right, and it was very helpful. It's not your job to fix it. You've got plenty on your plate to enjoy the rest of your childhood. You don't need to save anybody. Just take care of yourself.
Absolutely.
You have been living your entire life trying to please one parent or the other. Mm-hmm. Just live your life. You don't have to go on a rescue mission here. It's too much. You've done enough. You've done the
Michelle,
right, you know?
Michelle, I want to ask you, because Michelle, Judge Michelle, every day is dealing with parental alienation in her courtroom in a revolutionary way. No other judge that I know of handles parental alienation cases the way she does. She's invested in these families. She's invested in the futures of these children, and she's doing what she can to make a difference. And you're going to see some interesting things coming out soon from her. So what I'd like you to address, Michelle, is if Addie was in front of you in a courtroom with her parents, what would you say? How would you handle this case?
Well, if I had the authority, I would make sure that therapy was not an option. I would like Addie to spend some therapeutic time with her mom to work through some of the guilt of the past and to be able to release that. I would like to see her in a therapeutic situation with her dad and really go to the bottom of that to see what is the core of his anger so she can have some real understanding. This is so murky and dark and confusing. She needs to find a way to work through it with him. And you can't do that alone, Joe. It's too much. I couldn't do it at my age. Let alone,
well, Michelle,
17.
That's part of the
more.
Goal is to request some counseling. Family counseling is my what I would like to see. There was a hearing in October, and lack of, you know, it involved, you know, presenting financial documents, which it was postponed because he hadn't provided that. But so now it's been postponed till June, but that was going to be one of my requests, is that there be family counseling ordered also after the domestic situation between he and her father. Addie, that is what Addie requested, and I made it very clear through my attorney and through her father also that this is what she would like, and he has never pursued it. He hasn't.
Wait, just hold on one second. When I talk about this advice, what I'm saying, what Jill asked me, is in cases like this, when there are facts like you have, I'm not talking about exactly your case, but when there are cases like this, most people don't have to wait till June, because that's 6 months away for no therapy. He doesn't have to. In cases like this, the alienating parent doesn't have to agree to go to counseling. You can be ordered to go to counseling. I wouldn't imagine that an alienating parent would ever agree to that. That's counterintuitive. That's not what the crime of alienation is about, not being found out and being able to do what you want.
Right,
why would
right.
they want to be spotlighted or microscoped? It wouldn't happen. Judges care about this stuff, and especially if all they have to do is order counseling.
and court orders in cases like this that say no maligning under any circumstances, that it's an immediate contempt of court. The minute that happens, that nobody discusses dad and nobody discusses mom ever about anything, not even what they're wearing. Court
what
order.
Do you do in cases with children like my two other daughters that have already been completely alienated in counseling?
That's a whole other procedure. That's a whole other procedure. And that other procedure is the stuff that Jill is a serious expert on and that we've been talking about for months on this show. You've got to get them into counseling, too, because you've got to break it. It's almost as if breaking cult behavior. You know, it's almost that kind of tie. And there's protocols in therapy, but you have to just push for that because that's the independent third party that changes the recipe. It's never going to be working just you against him. There's got to be somebody
else.
And
you hope that that recipe can be changed. I think in so many cases, Michelle, and I know that in your courtroom you have control and you know what's going on, but in so many of these cases all across the country, the court system has failed these people, failed me. And I remember when we first talked, the first time we ever had a conversation, you said to me, what did the court system do to fail you? And I said, well, I think the biggest thing for me was I never was able to speak. I never said a word in a courtroom because the lawyers, the $1 million worth of lawyers, were supposed to talk for me and defend me and help me, and justice was supposed to prevail. But so many of these people have gone through this court system, and they have just had it jammed down their throat. And it's so hard to keep going and keep shelling out the bucks unless you have a never-ending, you know, gold mine that you can just peel it off and give it to these guys. It's very, very difficult.
Oh, you know, but you understand that my position is difficult doesn't mean you shouldn't try, right? And I know you.
No, you have to try. But I think you have to come to a point where you say, I'm not going to try financially until I break myself and lose my home and I'm bankruptcy. I mean, you never stop trying to contact your children and to be with your children. But I think at some point, you know, people don't have an unlimited supply of money.
Well, then I think people need to learn how to start drafting their own petitions instead of you know, when you run out of money, and believe me, the alienated parents run out of money. That's a fact of life, right, Jill? Unless you have an endless supply, but
absolutely,
that's not what we're talking about. Let's talk about the parent who's run out of money. Then you go online and you figure out how you write your own petition. You just don't stop and make it easy. Because
I have done that before, but
you'll go into court.
Can I say something else I think is important? I, you know, you've got, let's look at the emotional side of this, where I feel, what I feel as a mother who, trust me, I feel blessed to have Addie and a subsequent child in my life. I my heart breaks for parents who have none of their children, truly breaks. But what I can say is I feel put in the horrible, torn position of, do I focus my energies, my time, my resources on the two children that are here and in my presence that it's positive, or do I spend all of my energy, time, and resources on the two that aren't? It's a horrible position to be put in. I'm talking about the emotional aspect of it, not the lawyers, not the court.
It makes you feel guilty that you're giving time to these two and that you can't get to the other two to try to save them.
Exactly. Save them.
Let's talk about that. If we have a few minutes, because there's long-term consequences to this kind of moral dilemma, right? I mean, that's really what it is.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of energy drain? Now, there's a lot of projection that goes on because you've had so much past pain that it's hard to have real clarity. What kind of energy drain would it take, this is a question, for you to file your own petition ordering family counseling for your other two children?
having been there so many times before with attorneys and representing myself, what kind of energy drain? I don't know if I can answer that.
Because what I will say to you, Jenny, is even if you don't win, because if you get attached to winning, that's the energy drain, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what plays you. I get that. But what I'm saying is your kids need to know that you at least file the petition even if you lose.
Well, okay.
Micromanage and downgrade your expectations and downgrade your energy output, but leave a fraction for at least getting that done so they know you're still paying attention.
I want to run with this because here's the aspect that I've seen from the children and the dynamic that goes on. First of all, to answer that question from my perspective is there is an element of, you know, yes, I can fight. Yes, I try to contact them. But in the end, because there's been so much alienation go on, they're going to get on a stand or they're going to make it very vocal that they do not want to leave their father. So why should I try?
I'm not trying to contact them. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just talking generally the philosophical concept of how to allocate energy when you're fighting in these divorce and custody cases. It's not
okay.
Always the way it seems. I'm not telling you at all. I would never do that because I don't know any of the real facts.
This is important for kids to know, is that what I have been witness to with my other daughters, prior to this happening, my 14-year-old daughter wanted discussed with me just 2 weeks prior wanting to come live with me, and she was thinking about it, and, you know, we had an hour and a half completely alone conversation that was absolutely wonderful. When this situation took place, the domestic situation between Addie and her father, that was it. There was no discussing it. She was done with me. What I have seen over and over is my children, their father, blow up and become so angry that they have retreated. You don't upset the apple cart. Mm. You don't upset anything. And that has made them withdraw even further. Do you see? That's what's happening to these kids. And I don't know, Addie could answer it better, but it's like if Mom would just not try to do anything, we'd all be better off. I've tried that position of laying down.
It just keeps it the status quo, and everybody is happy the way it
right.
is because they don't have to try to choose. We have about 7 minutes left, and I want to give Addie the opportunity to speak to children who, and hopefully mine are listening, and I want to give you the opportunity, Addie, to talk to them and tell them what you feel and what they should feel about the parent that's been the target parent. What can you say to them as a positive ending message?
Well, the main thing that I want to say is that both of your parents love you, and they always will. And I can't imagine what it would be like to be put in my mom's position, to have two of her own children not want to be with her and say such terrible things about her. It's got to be a terrible feeling, and I just want to say that it's important to have a healthy relationship with both of your parents, and that it's best to talk to them, to just sort through things and tell them how you really feel and make sure that they listen to you and listen to what they have to say.
So, Addie, would you say if a parent is trying to control you and alienate you, and a lot of kids don't have the personality that you have, you have to step out of the box and be vocal about how you feel about that other parent. And maybe you could say, no, Dad, or no, Mom, that's not what I remember. That's not how it was. Do you think that that's what kids should do?
I know that's not what I did. I would think that, but I would never say it out loud to my dad. I would never say, that's not true, Dad. But deep down in my heart, I knew that it wasn't. And in a way, it helped me to be reunited with my mom again, because I just, as I grew older, I started realizing that it's my mom, and I know that she loves me, and not everything that my dad said about her was true.
Wow, what an amazing, amazing girl you are, and how brave you are. And I hope that there's no horrible repercussions for you from the show, from your sisters or from your father. And I hope at some point you all can be reunited as a family, and that your parents can co-parent you and be friendly. But until then, you're doing such an amazing job at being a wonderful young woman, and just keep that up, okay?
All right. Thank you.
And Michelle?
What I want, you know, we're going to try and look for somebody in your area for you so that you have your own person. You would be okay with that? Would you like us to do that?
Yes.
Good, good, good.
Good.
Excellent. Okay. That's excellent. Not because there's anything wrong with you. Oh, no, not at all. Only because it's a lot on your plate and you need someone to help scrape it off.
Right.
That's right. Scrape it off. Clean it up. Jenny and Addie, you have been lovely. And I have to tell you, in the chat room tonight, we have had just the most amazing people that, again, all alienated parents talking about the pain that they feel from being separated from their children, and how brave that, Addie, you and your mom are in coming on and talking about this publicly, because so many people are hesitant to do that. So many people are hesitant to be involved in trying to help people's situations in a parental alienation situation. So we've got all of these people that have been listening to you and hoping that you work out everything in your life, and I'm proud to be a part of the show, and I know Michelle is too.
Well, I was wondering, Jenny, whether you read Jill's book, The Look of Love.
Yes, I have gotten it and read it, yes.
Because I think that is so helpful to people in your spot. Wasn't it incredible?
Yes, and the first time that I saw that, it was just happenstance on actually the Dr. Phil show. I saw it and ordered it, and yes, but I've found so many resources through Jill that I'm so appreciative for.
Well, one good thing about Jenny is that since we have spoken the first time, her world has just exploded. And she told me last night that now she has people contacting her that are alienated. So she is our contact as I try to walk through this country state by state to build a grassroots parental alienation awareness organization group. She is the definite contact in Fort Wayne, if not the entire state of Indiana, that she is going to get organized. And she is out there now speaking. Addie is doing her part. And as we do this, I think 2011 is going to be our year, and everybody is going to make parental alienation a household word, if that's a good thing to say. But we want to create awareness and educate the public for what we do. I thank Addie and Jenny and my wonderful, dear friend, Judge Michelle, for being here tonight.
Thanks for having me, Jill. And
thank you,
Jill. Michelle.
You both, Addie and Jenny, good luck, and we'll hear more from you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
We'll be in touch. You guys have a great night. Thank you all for listening to Family Matters. Judge Michelle and I will be back week after next. Of course, on the off Wednesdays, you have Men Matters with Dr. James Wardner, and he is so exciting, and his new show debuted last week, so tune in to that. We will see you soon. Love you all. Love you, Thomas, Elizabeth, Martha, and John, and hope you come back home to your family soon. Love you. Bye.
And we'll take a minute at Syndicated News to let you know who's been visiting with us this evening. It's been the United States, 489 visitors from Canada, 392 United Kingdom, Australia, Spain, Philippines, the Netherlands, India, Germany, Chile, South Africa, France, Saudi Arabia, Japan, Puerto Rico, Brazil, Sweden, Egypt, Pakistan, Hong Kong, China, Switzerland, Portugal, Finland, Greece, Ecuador, the Republic of Korea, Estonia, Peru, Costa Rica, Italy, Bulgaria, Mexico, Georgia. That's Georgia, Russia, not Atlanta, Georgia. Guatemala, Russian Federation. Uzbekistan is in the house. Amazing. Denmark, Belgium, New Zealand, Thailand, United Arab Emirates, Croatia, Nigeria, Lithuania, Turkey, Ireland, Bangladesh, Kenya, Argentina, Malaysia, Bahamas, Ukraine, Israel, Senegal, Malta, the Dominican Republic, Aruba, Slovenia, the U.S. Virgin Islands, the Islamic Republic of Iran, Vietnam, Macedonia, Norway, Armenia, Venezuela, Tunisia, Bermuda, Taiwan, the Republic of Moldova, Romania, Indonesia, Singapore, and the Ivory Coast of Africa. Good night, everyone.